Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Guys, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Marigold Standard, or as Matt calls it, the Marigold Experience, your weekly audio source of all things Dreamstar Fighting Marigold. I'm your host, Rob Gooden, and I'm joined as ever by the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Matt Turner. Oh, yeah. Oh, this is going to be a lonely podcast. No, of course, Matt is in Dallas, home of the Mavericks, home of the Stars, home of the Cowboys, and of course, Von Erich country. Unless he's in Austin, because I know absolutely nothing about Austin. This podcast is going to be a little bit different, as will the next episode of the Stardomcast, simply because we are sort of going to piece together an episode for you, because like I said, Matt isn't going to be able to record. So what he's done is he's recorded his thoughts for the shows from Osaka and Act City, and I will sort of cut those onto the end of this podcast, so you'll get all the news, my thoughts and things to start with, and then we'll cut to Matt, who will do his bit and then sign off at the end of the podcast. It's a monumental day, because this is the first time, I believe, in 3 years that Matt has actually missed a podcast. But don't you guys worry, I will be docking his pay. But no, in all seriousness, it is weird not doing a podcast with Matt. It is weird just sitting in a room talking to myself, because as I said on the Stardomcast, in the 4 years of doing this podcast, I don't think I've ever done a podcast on my own before. So we'll see how it goes. Any feedback is much appreciated. But yes, obviously today we're here to talk about Marigold. Got lots of news from the world of Marigold and the world of Stardom. We're going to be talking two shows as well, as the Grand Opening Wars continues, and then we're going to be previewing the Corican Hall show, which is scheduled for tomorrow as we record the 11th of June. We'll be talking about that, going through who I think is going to win these matches and things like that. Just a couple of things just off the bat. For our Patreon listeners, sorry, hello to all of you. There will be an added perk, and it might be a perk. I don't know if it's a perk. We have been asked this before, so why not? I've sort of streamlined the way that me and Matt do our notes for the podcast, and every week we have these in-depth notes that just end up getting deleted after the podcast. So what I've done is I've put them on a Google slide, sort of made them look a little bit prettier, and I've put them, they will go in the podcast description for everyone that subscribes for $1 and up. So just an added little perk. Hopefully you like it. If not, nothing ventured, nothing gained, but there we are. Should we kick straight into some news? I mentioned before on both Stardomcast and the previous episode of the Marigold Standard when we interviewed Sonny that I will be doing news from both Stardom and Marigold simply because we run the risk, if we split them, we run the risk of the news becoming obsolete by the time it reaches you. So with us now doing effectively two podcasts a week, I thought it would be better and easier to do the news basically on a showly basis. So if something comes out tomorrow as we record, that will go on the Stardomcast news. Doesn't matter whether it's Marigold or Stardom, it will still be news. But we're going to start with, of all things, AEW, because we've talked a little bit about last week that Mina Shirakawa was going to be facing Toni Storm. Toni Storm, of course, appeared via video link at Stardom's latest Korakuen to challenge Mina Shirakawa for the title at Forbidden Door. That has now been accepted by Mina, and it has been made official. Mina Shirakawa versus Timeless Toni Storm for the AEW World Women's Championship Sunday, June 30th in Long Island, New York, where Matt Turner will be on hand to record his thoughts and his live review alongside editor-in-chief Sean as well. Basically, how we got here, things came to a head on Wednesday's episode of Dynamite when Mina saved both Toni and Mariah May from a beatdown by Saraya and Harley Cameron. And Toni didn't like that. This wasn't Mina's only foray into AEW this week. She also main evented Friday the 7th of June's episode of Rampage, and defeating Serena Deeb with the glamorous driver Mina in 13 minutes and 48 seconds. So Mina gained a lot of exposure on AEW programming, and rightly so. I don't think any of us expect Mina to take the championship off Toni, but we know it is going to be a very, very, very good match. Also announced on this card, as Matt mentioned last week, a title versus title match between Mercedes Moné and Stephanie Vaca. Mercedes Moné, obviously the TBS champion, newly crowned TBS champion, Stephanie Vaca, the New Japan Strong Women's champion, having dethroned Julia. So we are going to be hopefully seeing the end of two titles and sort of merging them into one. That would be nice. Mercedes Moné potentially getting the championship that was specifically designed for her if rumour is to be believed. But yes, a little bit of a spotlight on Mina, and of course Mercedes Moné and Stephanie Vaca, a rematch of their match at Resurgence. That is going to be very, very, very good. Also, New Japan, speaking of New Japan, they recently ran their Dominion show on the 9th of June in Osaka Joe Hall, and they announced the remainder of their big show calendar for 2024. They announced a return to the two-block the two-block structure, that's the one, for the G1 Climax 34, which, thank God, that's what we've all wanted for so long. They also announced that there will be playoffs and things like that, but let's focus on the two-block structure for now. After that, the end of August sees a return to Washington, D.C., where they will be running Capital Collision on August 31st, September 29th in Kobe World Hall, August the 14th in Ryogoku Kokugikan, November 4th in Edion Arena Osaka, December 8th in Grand Mess Kumamoto, and then of course the confirmation that January 4th, 2025, Wrestle Kingdom 19 in the Tokyo Dome. Again, just the one night. But the reason this piqued all of Stardom fans' interest is that also announced on November 17th will be historic crossover to Electric Boogaloo in Edion Arena Osaka. Yes, there will be another co-promoted show between Stardom and New Japan November 17th in a bigger arena, I believe, in the Edion Arena Osaka. The previous one was run in the Ariake Arena in 2022. It's still Stardom's highest attended show with a crowd of over 7,000 people. Obviously, it's a joint promoted show with their sole promoted show being All-Star Grand Queendom from 2023, which was 5,500. But yes, a very, very, very good number. I expect this to do a good number, hopefully more than 7,000. There's going to be some really, really interesting crossover matches. I believe that today on the Despy Invitational, Starlight Kid did show up and she has demanded a singles match with El Desperado. So on that alone, that show should be very, very good. Starlight Kid versus El Desperado. But yes, historic crossover 2 has been confirmed November 17th. The next thing I want to talk about, I will talk more about on the Stardom cast this week, but there are huge things happening in the landscape of Stardom that came out of the Nagoya pay-per-view on June 8th. Nads Katora, basically, after their win over Queen's Quest Uedatai, called on President Okada to make June the 22nd the conversion show, which apparently it's my giving now, I've got to shout this now at all times, to make that the final showdown between Queen's Quest and Uedatai. Tora did also call for the losing faction to break up or for something similar. Basically, the losing faction to break up or a loser leaves faction match. There have been others of these between Queen's Quest and Uedatai. I believe there's been two. One at the 8th anniversary show. The 7th anniversary show, I apologise. Which was a fantastic match. Really, really good. And that resulted in Tam Nakano being kicked out of Uedatai. Obviously, the great cage match last year, which saw Utami single-handedly see off Uedatai. And that saw Saki Kashima leave Uedatai. Now, if you are a believer of the lore of averages, then you know that it is roughly time that Uedatai win one of these. The decision to make it a faction breakup match was met with pretty much universal negative reception, to the point, in fact, where it's been reported on social media. Unfortunately, I didn't get a source before I started recording this, but it does look like it is just going to be a loser leaves unit due to the negative backlash. President Okada has come out and said that he doesn't want to break up Uedatai or Queen's Quest due to the legacy that they have in the promotion. But I feel like this is probably a reaction to the negativity surrounding that. And not just from Western fans either. Apparently this was quite negatively received by the Japanese audience as well. That being said, I don't particularly want to see anyone leave Queen's Quest. You know, it feels since Utami left that they are very much in a state of rebuilding. You have got all of this stuff with Momo Watanabe as well. Ideally, you would have Momo go back to Queen's Quest if that's what you are doing. What I don't want is, for example, a Saya Kamatani and a Uedatai. Because, and I've said this before, I don't think there is a bigger babyface and a person less suited to being a heel than Saya Kamatani. Even Mayu would make a better heel than Saya Kamatani. She's too lovable. She's too sort of earnest in her offense. It's just far too easy to support her. It worked to a certain extent with Starlight Kid. I don't think it'll work with Saya Kamatani. Again, this is all rumor, innuendo, and all of those things. There's been nothing at all confirmed, but what happened, I don't know. Now that it is not going to be, according to reports, it's not going to be a faction breakup match, I'm less concerned than I was when I was about to start recording. But again, I'll talk a little bit more about this on the Stardom cast this week when I'll go through the Nagoya show. But yes, just thought it was interesting to note that. Speaking of Uedatai, and specifically talking about Momo Watanabe next, Momo will be appearing in Sendai Girls at their Corrigan Hall show on the 15th of July in a special singles match against Dash Chisako. These two have only faced each other once in singles competition, and that was back in 2015, right at the start of Momo Watanabe's career. It's a match that Dash won It was back when Momo Watanabe hadn't a victory to her name at that point. I believe this was Momo's 14th match as a wrestler. Their overall record stands at 3-1 in Dash's favour, with the last time these two faced off being part of the Sendai Girls and Stardom crossover storyline in November of 2015, which culminated in Io taking the red belt from Meiko Satomura in December of that same year. Fantastic five-star classic match from that year. This is going to be great. This is going to be really, really good. We know what Dash can do. She's something of a Joshi legend at this point. And Momo Watanabe is, you know that she is going to bring a barrage, an arsenal, if you will, of kicks, of strikes, of brutality. So that's going to be great. And obviously, if we can, hopefully, with Sendai Girls streaming on Wrestle Universe, hopefully this will be something that myself and Matt can review, because it's a very exciting match to watch. Speaking of streaming, at the moment, the Starlight Kid Spark Joshi title defense isn't on Stardom World. Whether that does go on or not, I don't know. I'll see if I can find out, and obviously we'll talk a little bit about that on the Stardom cast. Speaking of a little bit of cross-promotion, our next IWGP Women's Championship defence has been confirmed. As you'll remember, at Flashing Champions, Mayu Iwatani thrust out a challenge to Tsukasa Fujimoto, and Fujimoto agreed but said that she would need to bring the title to Ice Ribbon, and Mayu apparently is doing just that. She made a video appearance at Ice Ribbon's new Ice Ribbon 1352 in Skip City, following Tsukasa Fujimoto's ISEX Infinity title Block B lead loss to Hamuko Hoshi to confirm her IWGP Women's Championship title defense against her on June 23rd at Ice Ribbon's Corican Hall show. Something that I do like very, very much about the way Stardom have started 2014. As we're looking at it, you know, almost halfway through the year, something I'm a big fan of is Stardom's cross-promotion with other Japanese promotions. You know, we've seen everything from, obviously, we've just talked about Momo Watanabe going over to Sendai Girls. We've seen far more New Japan crossover with Stardom. We've seen Natsupoi going over to Sendai Girls. We've now got Mayu Iwatani going over to Ice Ribbon. We've seen Mei Seira in Diana, we've seen Aya Sakura in Diana, and of course we've got Saya and Rana currently taking part in the Pro Wrestling Waves Catch the Wave tournament. That is something very, very exciting, because not only does it open up these promotions to people who have never seen them, for example myself, I've never seen anything from Diana or indeed Pro Wrestling Wave, but it's opening up those doors for fans. And I think as well, you know, the likes of an Ice Ribbon, who I know have struggled recently with attendances, to have a Mayu Iwatani on that card, and to have an IWGP Women's Championship defense on that card, that will be a huge get for Ice Ribbon. So exciting times, June 23rd, in what I doubt won't be the main event of Corican Hall. This will be Mayu's sixth defense of the title. Of course, she's made it very, very clear that she wants to break Kazuchika Okada's IWGP title defense record, which I believe sits at 12. So she's 7 away if she beats Fujimoto. Her reign itself was 414 days long at the time of recording, and it will be 427 days by the time of the match. So already a very, very good long reign for the icon of Stardom. Speaking of Saya Kamatani and Rani Yagami, they continued in the Catch the Wave tournament this week on the 7th of June. Saya Kamatani moved on to 4 points. She's currently 2 wins out of 2. She defeated Yuko Sakurai, who I think I've said before, you may remember from the 2023 Triangle Derby as part of Lollipop with Wax Tsukiyama. She won with the Star Crusher. And Rani Yagami also moved to 4 points again, 2-2. Sorry, 2 wins out of 2, should I say. She defeated Riara with a buzzsaw kick, which was quite cool. Pardon me. When you consider that Suri was also at ringside as a second, a little bit of a tribute there for her. In terms of what is left in the tournament, Saya Kamatani has Risa Sayle left on the 23rd of June. Rana has Chi-Chi left as well. Both of these matches, the turnaround was really, really good. They are both already on Stardom World. They were up, unless I'm very much mistaken, later the same day. So excellent turnaround from Stardom World. And the Sayaka Matanya Yuka Sakurai match in particular was very, very, very good. I was really impressed actually with Yuka Sakurai, who, again, my only exposure to her is the Triangle Derby. And I, you know, it was very much a throwaway team, if you remember. I think they ended the tournament with maybe 2 points, maybe four, but nothing more than that. And Yuko didn't really get a look in. However, here I thought she matched Saya Kamatani quite well. Obviously, Saya came out victorious with what was effectively a star crusher out of nowhere. But even so, I thought it was a good little showcase for Yuko against Saya. Moving on to some news coming out of Marigold. Another Corrigan Hall show has been announced for the end of July, just a week after Summer Destiny and Ryogoku as part of the Summer Gold Shine Tour. It'll be taking place on the 30th of July. Tickets are on pre-sale from yesterday, Sunday the 9th of June, and they are on general release from the 13th. If you are planning on going there. They've also announced some more tour dates as they continue with their Summer Gold Shine Tour. The tour dates are as follows. On the 3rd of August, a Saturday, they will be in the Kitajima Kita Park General Gymnasium in Tokushima. The next day, on the 4th, they will be in Hiroshima for, I believe, their first Hiroshima event in the Hiroshima Industrial Exhibition Hall. We've then got three Tokyo dates. The 19th of August, which is a Monday, they will be in Corrigan Hall. That'll be their August Corrigan. And then on the 24th and the 25th, which are a Saturday and a Sunday, we have got back-to-back Shinkiba First Ring shows. So that's something to keep an eye on. Also, again, the main focus of that is going to be the fact that we have another Corrigan to look forward to on Monday, the 19th of August. Announcements for that, including ticketing information and things like that, will be coming shortly. More cross-promotional stuff then. Nanai Takahashi. Nope. I can almost hear Sonny Gutierrez shaking his head. Nanai. I think that's better. Nanai Takahashi took part in the Yumioko Hotta 39th anniversary show, which took part at Shinjuku Face on the 8th of June. 503 people in attendance there. She was part of a tag team match alongside Tomoka Inaba against the team of Sari and Azusa Inaba. With the Nanae, I will get it right, I promise, and Tomoka coming out on top. Nanae pinning Azusa Inaba with the Queen Bee Bomb in 1857. Also on that card was white belt champion Sayori Anu, who came out victorious in the main event alongside Kaori Ito and Yumiko Hata against Arisa Nakajima, Mayumi Ozaki, and Shin Sakura Hirota. We are mere days away, 5 days to be precise, away from the All Together Again show, where the Stardom participation is Starlight Kid versus Azumi, another chapter in their generational rivalry. And a couple of days ago, we had Azumi being, as Starlight Kid put it, rather hostile about Starlight Kid's words about her mask. So Starlight Kid talked about this in her article or in her interview with Tokyo Sports. The original quote from Azumi is as follows in regards to what she calls the face reveal day. Quote, she also suggested that Kid might take off the tiger mask she's worn since debut. You've been saying for so long that you're the only masked woman in Stardom and now you're going to take off the mask. She shook her head. Still, she respected her wishes and said, if she takes off her mask, I won't allow her to do it without my permission. If you want to take it off, I will take off the mask in front of fans of various groups on the big stage all together. There is a sense of uneasiness between these two eternal rivals. So Azumi very much doesn't want to be upstaged by a potential Starlight Kid face reveal, and has instead threatened to be the one to do it. Starlight Kid responded to this again, like I mentioned, in her own interview with Tokyo Sports, where she said, quote, Azumi was really hostile with her words and was clearly trying to start a scene. But isn't the point of All Together to unite the wrestling world in times of need? I need to show her what that truly means to bring everyone all together. I believe that having another singles match against Izumi at this point in time is a good sign of things to come in the future. I want to use our match at All Together to explore myself even more and to find the answer I'm looking for. But I still won't let her get her hands on my mask. Obviously, there's a lot of interesting things going on with Starlight Kid at the moment as she flits from faction to faction. And I think at the moment, I would be reticent, as I've made perfectly clear on this podcast, I would be reticent to have Starlight Kid, at least just yet, take the mask off. Again, something I've already said, if it is something she wants to do, then let her feel free to do that, of course. However, from a merch point of view, the amount of stuff with Starlight Kid's mask on it, I imagine, is flying off the shelves. So you don't necessarily want to shoot yourself in the foot from a merchandising point of view. However, again, if this is something that I know that people have said how uncomfortable it can be to wrestle in a mask, and maybe if Starlight Kid's had enough of that, then fair enough. Is there a better time to unmask than against your eternal rival? Maybe that adds another layer to the rivalry between the pair, you know, another wrinkle in the story, and sort of adds a new dimension going forward. We've moved past, you know, young people making their debut through the high-speed championship era into this next era. Maybe there's a little bit of a rivalry based around Izumi being the one to unmask Starlight Kid. And the more I think about that, I don't think it will happen, just for the record, but the more I think about that, the more I like that if anyone is to unmask Starlight Kid, I don't want it to be a tour, or I don't want it to be this throwaway thing. I want it to have meaning, and I think Izumi, who, you know, they've been wrestling for 7 years at this point, in God knows how many singles matches, I think if anyone is to take it off, then Izumi is the perfect person to do that. But again, I want to stress, I don't want that to happen. But again, we'll see what All Together brings. That is on the 15th of June in Sapporo. Final bit of news then comes from Marigold. And of course, it's pre-Corican Hall news, with the show being tomorrow as we record. The brand new debuting rookie, who is going to be debuting against Mirai tomorrow, Kamomo Manabe, she has been given her Marigold number. She will wear number 2 on her jersey. And for the eagle-eyed amongst you, you will have seen her during the Act City show on the 2nd of June, seconding, I believe, Myla Grace. It was either Myla Grace or Zayda Steele. It was one of them. I can't remember which one. However, there are some differences between this Corican and the Marigold Fields Forever show. The Marigold DSF Japanese Twitter did put out that there will be no paper streamers thrown at this show, and that banners will only be permitted on the eastern side. So if there is anyone that listens to this podcast that is going to Corican Hall tomorrow, first of all, please send us some notes. It's always lovely to hear notes from our listeners. But secondly, you won't be throwing streamers as you did at Marigold Fields Forever. Just a little bit of a warning. However, you will be able to meet Kamomo Miname, who will be doing her first signing following this show as well, so that'll be cool for her. So if you go and see her, go and say hello. Let's move on then to the reviews. We're looking at the two shows that are video on demand on Wrestle Universe. The first from 176 Box in Osaka on the 1st of June, and then the day after on the 2nd, the one from Act City Hamamatsu. Same as what I do with Matt, I will go through all of the card, and then I'll go through the matches and little things to take from each. And then again, if you disagree or agree with what I've said, please feel free to add it to the comments. So let's start with the show from the 1st of June. This is from a venue that I was completely unaware of, Marigold Grand Opening Wars 2024 Night 2 from the 176 Box in Osaka, Japan, which to me at least had very Shinkiba first ring vibes. 494 people in attendance. That attendance makes it the second highest attendance of 2024 in the venue, and is the third highest of all time, with the only promotion outdrawing it being Osaka Pro Wrestling, who drew 500 plus twice, once in 2024 for their anniversary show, I believe. So a really strong number this for Marigold. Your results then are as follows. In singles action, Chika Goto versus Victoria Yuzuki went to a 15-minute time limit draw. Your second match saw Nagisa Nozaki defeating Zayda Steele in 8 minutes and 23 seconds with Noir Lancer. In a singles match, a passion injection match, Nanae Takahashi defeated Shiaki in 13 minutes and 48 seconds with the refrigerator bomb. In your semi-main event then, Bozilla and Myla Grace defeated the team of Natsumi Shozuki and Misha Matsui in 9 minutes and 16 seconds when Bozilla pinned both women with a Vader bomb. And then in your main event, the team of Mirai and Utami Hayashishita defeated Mei Sakurai and Mikue Ono in 14 minutes and 18 seconds with Utami pinning Mei Sakurai with the assisted German suplex in 14 minutes and 18 seconds. There's a couple of things really to point out from this show. The card was solid, no doubt. There was some low points, which we'll talk about. Not really low points, but little bits of miscommunication and things like that. But I want to start with that opening match, Chika Goto versus Victoria Yuzuki. And what I really liked in this was the increased aggression from Victoria Yuzuki. She came out in that first press conference, even changing her name to Victoria, because she wanted to be the icon of Marigold. Now, obviously, currently, she is, I believe, as I look at the statistics, she's currently without a victory. She's had 5 matches, lost 4, drawn 1. And again, for our patrons, these statistics will be on the notes for you. So there is a level of anticipation and maybe even a level of self-imposed pressure on Yuzuki. And here she's wrestling Chika Goto, who's not got a significant amount of in-ring experience, has come from the world of Graveyard Idol. And perhaps Yuzuki believes that she should be winning this match. When she can't put Goto away, you see this increased aggression, this increased desperation for Yuzuki to get the pinfall. And I love that about her. The fact that she is only, as I've said many, many, many times on these podcasts, she is only a year into her career. And we are seeing just so many different facets that she has in ring. And genuinely, I do feel that she is tipped for so many big things in the future. And this storyline, this organic storyline that Marigold seemed to be cultivating of, Yuzuki has promised that she is going to be the icon eventually of Marigold, but she cannot get this singles victory, this first victory. I mean, let's be perfectly honest, it's not coming tomorrow as we record, is it? Because she is in what is currently the semi-main event, or is listed as the semi-main event, against Sari. I cannot see it coming against Sari, but what a victory it would be. But yes, fantastically impressed with Yuzuki. However, it takes two to tango, and I think Chika Goto looked very, very good here, and I thought she looked really good in the next day's show against Myla Grace as well. Really, really impressed with the limited things that I've seen with Chika Goto. Her charisma and her aura, the way she commands a room, is very, very telling. She's extremely confident in what she does, and she seems to be taking on a lot as well, because even from the Marigold Fields Forever show to these two singles matches here, I can see an improvement. And for me, that's her dedication. That's down to her dedication in training and in learning brand new things. Again, Yuzuki is not experienced. You know, in the grand scheme of things, she has a year's experience. And I think these two have some really, really good chemistry together, some really, really good little sequences. Yuzuki especially had some really cool transitions into the arm bars. And again, that added aggression and that added desperation in the screaming whilst Chika Goto is in these arm bars, I think really added to the drama of the match. It was a choice, certainly, to go to open up with a 15-minute time limit draw. But that is the hat man's want, of course. However, I actually really liked it. I thought it worked with the rest of the match. It worked for, you know, what they're trying to tell in terms of a story. It didn't feel like 15 minutes, and it certainly didn't drag too much. I really enjoyed it. 3 stars. Zeta Steel versus Nagisa Nozaki. Now, Zeta Steel, I genuinely do believe, and this is even more telling for me on the second night that we're going to be talking about, has started to put the things together. So we've known from the outset that her character is very over-the-top brattish. Now, even though that's certainly still there, I feel like she has sort of diluted that and has focused on maybe integrating that whilst sort of working on the moveset. Okay, now her moveset was fine. That's not what I'm saying. It's more a case of she's learned the style, she's learning the style. You know, it's a completely different style to the American style. And again, Zeta Steel has 1 year of experience, I believe, maybe just over. So she's still learning. And I think she's another one, similar to Chika Goto, who is really, really developing. And I actually thought that Zeta Steel, she had a good, really good match with Miko Aono on the previous show. And actually, her tag match with Bozilla against Mirai and Miss Sakurai, I thought that was a really good melding of her character and her in-ring. And I think having someone like a Bozilla to play off really, really, really helped. Here, however, it was okay. It's nothing to write home about. I'm a big fan of Nagisa Nozaki's offense. Obviously, the injury to Julia, I think, probably hasn't helped Nagisa Nozaki, because that's what we were building to. We were building to a big singles program between those two, or at least a singles match between those two. That obviously can't happen at the moment because of Julia's injury. So at the moment, she's having singles matches on the undercard, which she's doing very well with. This was fine. Nothing bad, nothing, you know, blow away good. So 2¾ stars. Nanae Takahashi and Chiaki. Now, from the outset, I'm going to say this was a good match. 3¼ stars. Certainly not the best passion injection match of the weekend, which we'll get to in a moment. But the big thing for me is Chiaki, or Chiaki. I'm not entirely sure if it's pronounced with an S or with a chi, a hard chi. She's called the Dark Wolf, but she seems to be lacking a little bit of identity at the moment. You know, in the ring, she's good. And she's proved that here with Nanae Takahashi, though I do feel if you have a bad match with Nanae, that's not a good sign. But nevertheless, I thought this was a really good match. However, she's called the Dark Wolf, but we don't know if she's good or is she bad. She doesn't do anything inherently, you know, heelish in the ring. I know we did our interview with Mirai, and Mirai put an emphasis on how she was a villain or a bad guy. I haven't seen anything like that, and I don't know if things have changed because the reaction that she's getting, but she's come in, she's evidently loving being in Marigold, and it's honestly quite heartwarming to see. However, if your character in ring is the Dark Wolf and you're coming to the ring grinning like a Cheshire cat, there's a little bit of identity dissonance, shall we say. I don't know whether I'm supposed to be cheering for her or whether I'm supposed to be seeing her as a darkness that needs to be overcome. Now, I'm sure that'll come with time. Again, we are only, what, six? I think this was the fourth Marigold show. I'm sure it will come with time, with reps, and obviously as Marigold starts to cultivate those organic storylines, shall we say. At the moment, we're still getting to know a lot of the actress girls anyway. And again, Jackie's a good hand, certainly, and someone you can throw in and have a good singles match. It's just something that I noticed here, especially, just what is she? Who is she? And that's something that I'd like to see her work on in the next couple of weeks. Really getting over who is Chiaki. You know, what is the Dark Wolf? Is it just a cool nickname, or is there something to it? Again, good match. 3.25 stars, and an IA putting her away with the refrigerator bomb. Though there was a missed refrigerator bomb, which Nanae ate the canvas so hard on this. It was really quite brutal, really horrible. The tag match, right. So, Bozella and Myla Grace, Misa Matsu and Natsumi Shozuki. So, the Actress Girls team do have experience both teaming and facing off in their respective AWG factions, Royal and Teppan. I believe Natsumi Shozuki was in Royal, Misa Matsui was in Teppan. Bozella and Myla Grace obviously have absolutely no experience tagging together, to my knowledge. The problem that I had was that by the end of this match, it had completely fallen apart. I had no idea who was legal because there was so much sort of everyone in the ring at the same time, and it just felt very messy towards the end. Now, during the match, there were some really good bits. Myla was really able to let that character shine when having Bozell to play off. Same with Zayda Steele. I really enjoyed her trying to be mean and then high-fiving fans behind Bozilla's back. That was a really cool moment. Misa Matsui is someone who is really growing on me, and I'm going to talk a little bit about her in the Act City show. She had great chemistry with Bozilla, and it's when she has someone big to work with, to wrestle around, and obviously she had the same with Nanae and the Passion Injection match on the second night. But there was a great moment where Bozilla just literally picked her up out of a pinfall and German suplexed her. That was a particular highlight for me. But yes, the match really did fall apart a little bit towards the end. There was a couple of missed spots, there was a little bit of communication breakdown, and then again, I really struggled to work out who was legal because tags just seemed to stop mattering. Again, it's a tag match on the undercard. We're seeing a little bit more of Myla Grace being comfortable in ring. Bozella is obviously, you know, a star. Misa Matsui, I'm really impressed with. I think she's going to be something big going forward, and again, I want to talk to her a bit later. Natsumi Shozuki, again, she's a good hand. Haven't seen the best of her yet, certainly, but yes, it was certainly the weakest match on the card. Not a bad match, and like I said, the start of it I quite enjoyed. It's just the longer it went on, the more it sort of unraveled like a tapestry being attacked by angry kittens. I gave it 2.25 stars. But yes, if you are in a rush, it's perhaps the match I would miss. And then your main event, Mirai Nutami against Mei Sakurai and Miku Aono. I want to talk for a little bit about Mei Sakurai, because on Stardom Casts of the Past, I was very quick to dismiss Mei Sakurai. And then even when she sort of shed that skin and became the ladyship character, I saw her very much as a comedy lower card wrestler and absolutely nothing else. And I will be perfectly honest, and this is my fault. Of the 7 initial roster members that joined Rossi for Marigold, I was perhaps the least excited for Mei Sakurai. And that's a horrible thing to say, but that's how I felt, because it's the comedy gimmick. However, that's not to say I don't like the comedy gimmick, obviously, but I don't think that should be everything a wrestler is, because otherwise then you end up like Toriyama. Here, however, Mei Sakurai reminded everyone that how good she is in ring. Like, I'd spoken months and months ago about how much progress Mei Sakurai had made in ring, but that was overshadowed with the amount of comedy and shtick and things like that. And, you know, she was in 5-6 minute matches opening cards in Stardom, yet here she's got a main event where she's facing off against two of the best in the company, in Utami and Mirai, and she's able to go 14 minutes and 18 seconds, and, you know, yes, she takes a lot of the heat, but actually, she's able to go toe-to-toe with Mirai with some of these strikes. Yes, she eventually gets bludgeoned, but that's beside the point. She seems to be sort of developing and growing into this character, finding that subtle balance. Again, similar to, you know, the way I was talking about Zayda Steele earlier, she seems to be finding that balance between in-ring and the comedy gimmick, and I think Mei Sakurai's actually really, really improved in ring and was a vital part of this match. You know, the way she got Mirai into the Paradise Lock, beautiful, absolutely beautiful transition. But of course, the main part of this match is Utami Hayashista and Miku Aono, which I feel is a feud that we have built towards and has a lot of fans excited, and rightly so, because the exchanges that we had between these two were brilliant. The suplex spots, the reversal spots. It seemed at the start like Miku was almost holding something back, but by the end, her and Utami were throwing each other round like nobody's business, and I am all here for that. If this is your first really big, organically farmed feud, you know, we have Nayu Ishikawa, who is sort of feuding against the Actress girls as a collective because of her lack of appreciation on the poster, let's say. And you've got Julia and Sari, for example, but of course that hasn't stemmed from an in-ring point of view. Simply for in-ring, I feel like this is the feud, Utami and Miku Aono. I've waxed lyrical about how impressed I've been with Miku Aono. Of everyone that has come over from Actress Girls, Miku Aono is the one that I really do see at the pinnacle of this company. And if we are to have our first real main event feud that, you know, taking out special attractions and things like that, if our big main event feud, if our big red belt feud going forward is Utami Hayashista and Miku Aono, and we get, you know, what they teased in these two matches over these two shows, we are in for a very, very tasty couple of months and years. 3¾ stars, match of the night by a distance. Really, really, really impressed. I am a huge fan of Mirai and Utami as a tag team. If they're future tag champs, I am all for that. I have been a very good year, Rossi Claus. I think that should be what you do. They already have a tag finish. They just need a really cool name for it. But yes, 3¾ stars, a really good way to end this show. And again, Utami and Miku Aono is the feud. Let's move on then to the second show, which is the Grand Opening Wars 2024 Night 3 in Hamamatsu. Act City Hamamatsu, to be precise. 339 people inside the venue in Shizuoka on the 2nd of June. It's a standard attendance, really, for Act City. 339. Stardom hit 600 in the venue earlier this year. New Japan managed over 1,000 on their road to Sakura Genesis tour. It's all dependent on how it's set out, really. But the results, again, are as follows. So we have started with a singles match. Chika Goto defeating Myla Grace in 7 minutes and 15 seconds with a chokeslam. Nagisa Nozaki defeated Chiaki with the Noir Lancer in 10 minutes and 58 seconds. In what was match of the two nights, and perhaps the best passion injection match since, Sayurida maybe? Nanae Takahashi defeated Misa Matsui in 14 minutes and 15 seconds with the Nana Raka. In your tag team semi-main, Mei Sakurai and Mirai defeated the team of Bozilla and Zeta Steel, with Mirai submitting Zeta in 13 minutes and 45 seconds with the Mirror Mare. And then in your main event, some more Miku and Utami action. Miku Aono and Natsumi Shozuki defeating the team of Utami Hayashista and Victoria Yuzuki. Miku Aono pinning Victoria Yuzuki in 13 minutes and 5 seconds with a double arm underarm stalling suplex, which looked brilliant. Properly launched Yuzuki across the ring. Let's start at the bottom then. We'll start at the very beginning. It's a very good place to start, as they say. Chika Goto and Myla Grace. Myla Grace, I think, seemed a lot smoother on this show. Again, I thought Chika Goto looked very good. It was quite simple, quite basic, but I think it worked very well. There are some really cool spots that Myla Grace does, but there's still some kinks to work out. But again, there is evident development there, so I'm not concerned in the slightest. Chika Goto, the way she enters the ring because this is all from one sort of one hard cam that's zooming in and out, and you can see the way Chika Goto walks around before she enters the ring. She walks around the ring and, you know, walking to the side and getting the crowd to cheer and stuff like that. That's a confidence that, you know, is going to be so important as she continues her career in wrestling. So that's something that's really, really exciting. And again, to see her get her first singles victory is really good as well. Nagisa Nozaki and Chiaki, again, a solid, solid match. I gave Chikoto and Myla Grace 2.5 stars, by the way. Nagisa Nozaki and Chiaki, as I said, a solid undercard match. I had the same issue with Chiaki that I had in the previous match that she had. You know, who is Chiaki? And I'm sure, again, I'm not going to go on and on and on about it because, again, 5 shows in, but once it warmed up, this got really good, really hard hitting. Chiaki has an absolutely fantastic spear. It is deceptively hard hitting. I know she does what I like to call the Bobby Lashley roll, the Bobby Lashley somersault, but even so, really, really hard hitting. And she connected with one with Nozaki in this match, which was absolutely brilliant. I want to talk though about Nanae and Misa Matsui.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Matsui is another one from the AWG group to keep an eye on. Very similar to Miko Aono. And I was sort of, after Marigold Fields Forever, I was very much of the opinion, okay, she's a good hand. Okay. And then the more I've seen her, the more I've seen the charisma that she has, the speed that she has, the technical skill that she has, I'm becoming more and more and more impressed. And she has a very, very high ceiling. Sure, she's a shoo-in for the super flyweight title. And I'd be very, very, very surprised if she's not your first champion. But for me, she could be very much in the same mold as Natsupoi. And what I mean by that is you could plug her into main event feuds and get absolutely sensational main event matches out of her because she's so easy to root for. She's so good in ring. She takes a beating like anything. I mean, here she got absolutely blitzed for the first 6 minutes of this match because she was constantly trying to be speedy and sort of use her, I suppose we should call it flyweight speed now as opposed to high speed, but you know, that sort of style. And Nanae was just having absolutely none of it. And it was only when Matsui had to adapt and was forced to adapt that she managed to get a foothold in the match, starting to take out Takahashi's legs and work that legs and sort of chop down the tree, for lack of a better phrase, that she managed to get some success. And that sort of adaptation and that ability to change things on the fly is something that a very, very, very exciting wrestler can do. And that's why, you know, that the charisma, the speed, but also the technical acumen is why I think she's very much in the Natsupoi mold. Now, don't get me wrong, and I mean this in no disrespect to Matsui, Natsupoi is one of the best wrestlers in the world, and I will die on that hill. But Misa Matsui is certainly in that mold. And I think, again, if you're looking at people from AWG to really make an impact in Marigold, you're looking at Miko Aono and you're looking at Misa Matsui, who I think in these last 2 shows has really shown that she is someone that you need to keep an eye on. Fantastic passion injection match. This is exactly why I love the passion injection matches as a focus anyway, as a stipulation anyway, because it shines a light on someone who might not necessarily be getting that light anyway. And Nanae did a fantastic job with some of the people she was paired with in Stardom. Saeeda, Lady C, Wakasuki Yama, Miyu Amasaki are ones that jump to mind. Yes, you know, we always jump to the Starlight Kid one and things like that, ones that potentially she should have lost or shouldn't have even happened. However, it's when stuff like this happens, because yes, Misa Matsui lost this match, but it's who we're all talking about coming out of it. And that is the whole point of this. Yes, you lost, but who cares? It's who we're talking about, and I've sat up and took notice. And I'm sure some of you listening at home have as well. So actually, this has done exactly what it set out to do, exactly what it said on the tin. It's the ROM seal match, exactly what it says on the tin. And I don't think that's a thing in America, so absolutely nobody knows what I'm talking about. But it doesn't matter. We're just going to move on. 4 stars. Just love this match. If you're pressed for time, I mean, these shows were both under 2 hours and literally flew by. But if you're short of time, this is the one you need to go out of your way to check out. Nanae Takahashi, or Nanae Takahashi, I will get it right, I promise, against Misa Matsui from the 2nd of June in Hamamatsu. Really, really, really good match. In your semi-main event, obviously we had the Bozilla and Zeta Steel team losing to Mariah and May Sakurai. In my notes, which you will all see on Patreon, I might have jumped the gun a little bit, because I said I preferred Myla and Bozilla as a team, because I did think their chemistry was really good. However, the more I thought about it, the more I think I actually prefer Bozilla and Zeta Steel. They've both got very different chemistry. Myla Grace is trying to be a bad guy, but is just too nice and too babyface to do it, hence the high-fiving behind Bozilla's back. I enjoyed that. Zeta Steel, however, is very much just trying to be Bozilla's friend, and everything she does in ring, she's looking to Bozilla for, like, approval. So she's still a heel, and she's still, like, basically that person leaning out behind Bozilla's back as Bozilla's beating someone up, going, yeah. You know, when someone's stealing your lunch money, not that ever happened to me, obviously. But that whole trying to please her with the moves, and there was one point, and it was after a shoulder tackle. So we started the match. It was Zeta Steel and May Sakurai. And Zeta Steel cannot take May Sakurai off her feet with the shoulder tackle. And you can see Bozilla getting more and more annoyed at the lack of results. And eventually Zeta Steel manages to take May Sakurai off her feet. She cheats a little bit and then takes her off her feet with a shoulder tackle, and then turns to Bozilla and says, look, I did it. And Bozilla literally just says, about time. And it just shuts her down immediately. There's one point where Zeta Steel is on top and Bozilla tags in, and Zeta Steel turns around to get really annoyed, then remembers she's teaming with Bozilla and just goes, yeah, okay, fair enough. And it's that little dynamic that I really enjoyed as a team. I feel like we saw the dynamic between Bozilla and Myla Grace more outside of the ring, you know, on the entrance and on the exit, whereas here we saw it all the way through the match. And I think that's credit to both Zeta and Bozilla. Mirai, again, seem to be building Bozilla and Mirai. And I wonder if the program going forward is going to be Bozilla losing that first singles match and it'll be Mirai who does it. I don't want it to happen for a while. I want Bozilla to continue being an absolute killer, especially if, you know, she's on a longer tour with Marigold. I want Mirai to be the one to beat Bozilla, certainly, but in a couple of months. Because, again, you run the risk of, if you beat Bozilla too soon, she sort of loses her sheen a little bit. I do like how she's become a little bit more personable when she's teaming with Zeta Steel and Myla Grace. She's teaming with both of them at Korakuen, so that should be really quite interesting. What I do like is when we're talking... So in terms of Bozilla and Myla Grace, it's very much a May Sayer and Megan Bain sort of relationship, where Myla just wants to be her friend And then Bozilla just launches her over the top rope. And that's sort of where we're going with that relationship. Whereas here, I think it could be quite an effective tag team if Zeta Steel can pick up some wins anyway. We look now at the main event, which again, another fantastic match. Again, 3 3/4 stars. Thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed it. Yuzuki's chance counters look great. And to go from the very first match on the previous night to the main event here, where she's in a match with Utami Hayashishita, Mikue Ano, and Natsumi Shizuki, who, of course, is, you know, she was the AWG singles champion when she left, so she's used to main events. I think Victoria Yuzuki took it all in a stride, didn't seem phased at any point, didn't seem overwhelmed by being in a high-stakes match, even though she took a lot of the heat. It just played into that plucky underdog story, but it also showed a completely different side of her. You know, you look at the Victoria Yuzuki who wrestled in this match, it's a completely different Yuzuki than wrestled in the opener against Chika Goto the night before. And I think that's really good for someone who hasn't got that much experience to be able to have these different sides, these different facets. Utami seemed to be on a mission to sell absolutely everything for Shizuki and Mikue Ono, absolutely selling her ass off for absolutely everything. The transitions into the cradle, again, from Yuzuki was just absolutely incredible. On a very basic level, and bear with me on this, on a very basic level, the structure was very similar to that of the match I absolutely adore, Kawada and Tenryu versus Hanson and Gordy, in that Yuzuki, who plays sort of plays the Kawada role. Again, it's nowhere near the match quality or the brutality, but in the sort of structure of it, she plays the Kawada spot, you know, that plucky underdog who you desperately want to support, and it just keeps getting up. And, you know, she often has to get bailed out by her more experienced, you know, star team member in Utami, who's obviously playing Tenryu. And yeah, it's Yuzuki that ends up eating the pinfall. And yes, it's a big victory from Mikue Ono as we build towards that potential feud between Utami and her, which I would be very, very excited. We've already talked on the news segments about the fact that we have two Korakuens coming up, one in July, one in August, and then we've got the one tomorrow as well. But I would be very, very, very happy to see Utami and Mikue Ono in a singles match at one of these Korakuen Hall shows. I think that would be very, very good. I talked about Mirai and Utami being a potential twin star champion team. I'd be very, very happy to see Mikue Ono and Natsumi Shizuki as well, because for me, they're the best tag team in Marigold. I thought the way they worked together here, the way they isolated Yuzuki in the match, the way that their strikes were impactful, Shizuki's knees to Utami's face were brutal, and I think it was just really, really, really good tag work from two very, very, very good wrestlers. 3 3/4 stars again. Really did a good job of building Utami and Mikue Ono as future aces of this company, whilst highlighting Victoria Yuzuki as that plucky underdog, which seems to be a role that she's been given during this role, and that's something that I'm absolutely fine with. Two very solid shows. If I was to point you in the direction of two matches, both nights' main events were very, very good. And then, of course, the passion injection match, Nanae Takahashi versus Misa Matsui. I genuinely think that's one of the better matches in Marigold's admittedly quite short canon. Let's move on then to the previews as to what is coming up next. But before I do that, just quickly, I do want to point out that obviously with Julia leaving soon for NXT, whether she will be bouncing between Marigold and NXT is to be seen. There are reports that that's what she will be doing. Similar to the Io and Kairi watch that we do on the Stardomcast, we will be bringing Julia watch to the Marigold standard. So that'll be coming soon. And obviously that's coming soon because we don't know when she's going to be on NXT. But in terms of what is coming up next, in a couple of previews, obviously we've got the Korakuen Hall show, which is going to be tomorrow as we record, the 11th of June 2024, live on Wrestle Universe. The card is as follows: Mirai versus Komomo Minami, who of course is making her debut And we did laugh last week when they seem to have replaced Hazuki, who was a previous, who was supposed to be debuting. She was supposed to be debuting against previously, and that didn't happen because of injury. So they put her in with Mirai. The return of Naio Ishikawa against Nagisa Nozaki. Mame Sakurai and Misa Matsui against Natsumi Shozuki and Chiaki. Six-woman tag, the first six-woman tag of Marigold. There you go, a little useless stat for you there. Mikawe Ono, Koki Yamare, and Chika Goto will be taking on Bozilla, Myla Grace, and Zeta Steel. I'm really excited to see how the dynamic of that foreigner team works after the way that we spoke about the dynamics working when they were just a pair of tag teams. In the semi-main event, Victoria Yuzuki versus Sari. And then in your main event, a singles match with Tami Hayashishita versus Nanae Takahashi. So in terms of predictions, only six matches on the card. And to be honest, should be, he says, relatively straightforward. Mirai, you know, I'm sure will Kamomo Minami will put up a tremendous fight. There's not a chance that she beats Mirai here, unfortunately. Naio Ishikawa versus Nagisa Nozaki, I think, as I mentioned before, we're sort of building towards at least a singles match with Julia, who is out of a cast now, by the way, and is now onto wrist support. So hopefully things are looking positive when towards the show at Summer Destiny. Nagisa Nozaki, I think, wins this one. However, again, as I've said before, Ishikawa is someone that I've been really, really, really impressed with. I've seen a completely different side of. So I'm very excited about that. Did I say the 23rd of June for Summer Destiny? I think I did. I meant 23rd of July. Tag team match. This one's quite interesting. Mei Sakurai and Misa Matsui against Natsumi Shozuki and Chiaki. This one's probably the hardest one to call of the entire show, but I'm going to go with Mei Sakurai and Misa Matsui. And this might be recency bias, simply because I saw the Matsui match against Takahashi very recently. But I think they have more of an upside at the moment. And again, Mei Sakurai proved that she's so much more than a gimmick, even if she's shed both the hat and the cat now, and now seems to be drawing her power from her fuzzy sunglasses. I think that's, for me, where I go, put more of a focus onto Misa especially. The six-woman tag. I mean, this could go one of two ways, obviously, because that's how wrestling works, Rob. But in terms of this match itself, obviously you would assume that Myla Grace or Zeta Steel are going to be taking the pinfall. But you do have the monstrous Bozilla on that side. So it's a case of how much of an impact does Bozilla have on this match? Does it go to the TLD? I mean, I'll be perfectly honest, if there is one TLD on this card, it's not going to be this match for me. But I'm going to go with, do you know what, let's go with a little bit of a story here. Let's say Miko Aono's team gets the victory. Zeta Steel is the one to get pinned, and again, she's beaten up by Bozilla, and that sort of builds on that story, because again, I should have mentioned after the Act City match, Zeta Steel submitted to the Mirror Mare, and Bozilla beat her up for losing, which again, I thought was really quite funny, and then their backstage segment was also really quite entertaining, so you need to check that out on Wrestle Universe as well, but I think that could be somewhere we go towards, and then Zeta Steel can blame it on Myla Grace or whatever. I think there's a story you can work through there. I think if Mirai versus Kamomo Minami is the lock of the night, this is probably the second most lock. Again, I fully anticipate Yuzuki having a brutal, brutal beating at the hands of Sari, but I imagine she will keep getting up and asking for more. However, you're building Sari up for the Julian match in Ryogoku, so I can't see Yuzuki pulling out the surprise victory here. And then, right. Now, Utami versus Nanae. Nanae has not lost a Passion Injection match. Now, if this is to be billed as a Passion Injection match, I think Utami needs to win. Okay? Nanae is a past ace. Absolutely has so much to give, 100%. However, Utami is one of these people you are looking to lead this promotion for years to come. A big victory over Nanae, who is one of only two people, I believe, who has a 100% win record in Marigold at the moment. I apologise, there's three. Koki Amore and Sarri, but Sarri's only had two matches. But I feel like a decisive victory here for Utami does far more than a victory for Nanae does. Now, this could go to the time limit draw. We've seen it happen in main events before. Do I want that to happen? No, I don't, if I'm being brutally honest. I think Utami needs to win this. But we'll see. We'll wait and see. Again, we're very early into the history of Marigold, so we'll see how this goes. However, I can't see a positive for Nanae coming out victorious. But we'll see. We'll wait and see. We've also got some more shows coming up. Again, me and Matt will be back to review the Corican Hall show next week. However, the chances of being able to do next weekend's show are very, very slim. The KBS Hall show in Kyoto will be on Saturday the 15th of June. That's on video on demand on Wrestle Universe, as is the following day's on Sunday the 16th in Nagoya, the Nagoya Congress Center. That's also video on demand. So the chances of us being able to cover that next Monday are very, very slim. However, we will be talking about that Corican Hall show. Shin Kiba First Ring on the 23rd of June. That will be live on Wrestle Universe. And then the show from the 29th of June in Sendai Pit. That is also video on demand. Final thing that I just want to add before I throw to Matt Turner, who is going to be seamlessly edited into this podcast, is that if you are looking on the notes, every week there will be updated win-loss records at the end. And obviously once Marigold introduced their championships, which they haven't yet, an up-to-date championship history as well will be at the end of these notes. So again, the notes will be attached each week to the podcast description. So please help yourself to that. It will be in PDF format. But yes, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening. I hope it's been all right, me doing this on my own. It's felt very strange. I don't like not having Matt to bounce off, but he's having a lovely time in Texas. So there we are. But thank you so much for listening. I really do appreciate it. We appreciate all of your feedback. We appreciate everything that you do for us. If you want to find us on social media, you can at Marigold Podcast. You can also check out the website, www.thestardomcast.com, where you can check out all the news and all of the archived episodes of the Marigold Standard and the Stardom Cast as well. You can also check us out on YouTube at the Stardom Cast as well. If you want to talk to me on Twitter, you can at Real Rob Goodwin. But now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for your main event. The main event of the evening. It's only Matt Bloody Turner.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Marigold Standard, or the Marigold Experience, depending on who you ask and what day you ask. This is Matt Turner, and folks, I thank you for your patience as we have this unique episode that we are going to be releasing this week. If you remember last week, we did say that I will be away for work functions and won't be able to record with Rob. But rather than just have Rob doing everything solo, I figured what I'll do is kind of call in. I'll record in. I'll shoot these over to Mr. Goodwin, and we'll kind of just edit them together. So that's what we're going to do on this week's episode, and I appreciate your patience and your understanding. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to review the show from the 1st of June, the 2nd of June. I'm going to give my star ratings, and then we're going to do a little preview and prediction for the Corican Hall show coming up this week. So let's go to the 176 box on the 1st, and the very first match was Chika Goto and Victoria Yuzuki going to a 15-minute time limit draw. I had this at 3.5 stars. I thought this was a really solid match, really good technical wrestling. Chika has been using this really cool big pump kick. We had a good forearm trade-off back and forth between the two. Some excellent technical wrestling from Yuzuki towards the end. I thought a little bit of it was it got maybe a little bit too long in the middle of this match as we were kind of going towards the finish. It almost seemed like they were doing some filler time here. But I think what they were trying to accomplish here with Chika Goto and Victoria Yuzuki to see if these two young, fantastic wrestlers can hold a 15-minute match, and they're close. They're close, but good way to open up this show. Again, I may be a little bit too long, but I understand. Try to go to a time limit draw. That's the psychology, and that's what they're trying to want to do. 3.5 stars. Second match saw Zeta Steel taking on Nagasu Nozaki. Nozaki gets the win with a sliding Yakuza kick. I thought this was another high-paced match. Zeta Steel really impresses me with her gimmick. She does a great job getting the crowd involved. She's got a really, really good suicide dive. But this one almost seemed like very much similar towards the tag match they had Cork and Hall at the very first show, where it seemed to look like it got a little bit lost in communication. But Nozaki did a good job getting it back on track. I really like her strikes in this one. I like Zeta Steel, her firing up back on the strikes. She's got a really, really bright future here in Marigold in professional wrestling, and I can't wait to see what she does. And obviously, she's only going to get better working with the great wrestlers in the Marigold promotion and the training as well. 3.5 stars, I had this one. This was a nice, hard-hitting match. Speaking of hard hitting, we go to match number 3, the Passion Injection match, which did see Nanai Takahashi getting a win over Chiaka. Boy, they're really putting Chiaka the feet to the fire here. She had Mirai on the very first show, which Mirai had threw that thunderous lariat at her that shook Cork and Hall, and now she's got Nanai Takahashi here. So I thought this was really good. I have this at 3 3/4 stars. Nanai gets the win with the top rope splash, also known as the refrigerator bomb. Folks, if you know me, and if you listen to the Stardom cast before, you know I love myself a big lockup. And this match started with a really, really big lockup. Really good stuff there. Chica takes it to Nanai early on. She is not intimidated by the legend that can still go in the former red belt champion, and Nanai Takahashi. Nanai does a good job working over Chica's arm. Nanai fires she uses the arm work to be able to separate herself with strikes and machine gun chops. Chica does get Nanai down with a few strikes of her own. She does this really cool cartwheel double knee spot. I like that. We get forearms back and forth. Nanai wins the better of the forearm exchange. However, Chica hits a big spear, taking Nanai out. Nanai uses some boot scrapes to get the advantage back. And then Chica Chiaka is able to get the advantage back with the boot scrapes and the JP coaster. Shouts out to the Jumbo Princess. But eventually Nanai hits the superplex and the refrigerator bomb for the 3 count, 3 3/4 stars. Folks, we move on to the semi-main event, match number 4. And what's really cool about this show is it's only 5 matches. These shows were very, very easy for me to get through. I mean, don't get me wrong, the action was great, but just how busy I am with the Stardom cast and now the Marigold experience, all the extra stuff we're doing on Patreon, and just me trying to get ready for my trip out to Texas. So this was very, very convenient for me. 5 matches, all really good stuff, especially with the co-main event and the main event, which we're going to get into, which saw the team of Myla Grace and Bozilla defeating the tag team of Misa Matsui and Natsumi Shozaki. Shozaki, one of my new favorite wrestlers, and I'm really glad that Marigold is able to showcase her the way that she does, because I absolutely love her. Misa and Natsumi, they jump Bozilla in the beginning of the match. Makes sense. A little divide and conquer. They take out Myla Grace. They do some drop kicks to Bozilla's knee. Eventually, Bozilla is able to get the advantage back. She's able to basically throw Shozaki and Matsui to the outside. And the Bozilla does the body presses Myla Grace onto the floor, onto Matsumi and Shozaki. Really cool spot. The crowd is all into Bozilla, and Bozilla plays her gimmick really, really well. Back in the ring, Myla Grace hits a Golden Gate swing that scores her a 2 count. Myla then hits the top rope Thez press, which I absolutely love. She hits that to Shozaki. That scores her a 2 count. Shozaki is able to fire back with forearms and kicks. That is able to open up the door for a beautiful fisherman suplex to Myla Grace. That scores her a 2 count. Matsui comes in the ring. She comes in with a big running knee. Bozilla then comes in, and then she's just super dominant over Matsumi and Shozaki. Bozilla hits a sit-out DVD to Misa for a 2 count. Shozaki comes in with a flurry of kicks and a code breaker to Bozilla. And then we get some more divide and conquer from Matsui and Shozaki. Eventually, though, Bozilla powerbombs both Matsui and Shozaki, And then she hits both of them with the second rope Vader bomb for a three count, 3.5 stars. Really good job showing Bozilla's dominance. But I like the psychology of the divide and conquer, and with Misa using her speed to try to get around the dominance that is Bozilla, and then Natsumi using her striking to break down Bozilla. But eventually it's the double power bomb and the double Vader bomb that does in the Japanese team. But really, really good stuff. Again, Bozilla, definitely a early highlight in the Marigold roster. Excellent stuff here. We go to the main event, and boy, what a main event this was. Of Utami Hayashista and Mirai taking on the team of Miko Anno and Mai Sakurai. It seems like Mai Sakurai has done away with the hat, maybe because Nanai's doing it. And now she has these fuzzy glasses. So she's really evolving her gimmick, which I really, really like. I think it's really, really good stuff. And she's looked absolutely fantastic in the ring since the debut at Marigold. She really has upped up her game and upped up her stock as far as in-ring goes. And, of course, we know that she's a terrific, terrific character. She plays her stuff really well. But maybe a little more mic work we can get for her. I don't know. We shall see. We shall see. So, okay. We got here Mai Sakurai. She works over Mai Sakurai working over Mirai's arm. Sakurai floors Mirai with the big Yakuza kick. Utami and Sakurai have a forearm trade-off. And again, Sakurai really bringing the striking game up to another level. She's working with a lot of hard hitters here. Marigold is able to withstand the Utamis and the Mirai. So really good stuff there. Mirai hits a thunderous corner lariat to Miko Anno. Miko and Utami have a great strike exchange. I mean, folks, if you've seen this match, I'm assuming if you've listened to this podcast, you've seen this match. You know the money in this match is Utami, Miko, Anno. I mean, as soon as this show was released, everybody on social media was there just saying about how Miko, Anno, and Utami, that's going to be the money feud. That really could be their Shiri and Utami. It really, really could. I mean, it makes perfect sense. And Miko, Anno does work that hard-hitting style like Shiri. And as good as Utami was in those matches with Shiri back in 2021 and 2022, I think Utami's better now, which is crazy to say because she was one of the best in the world then. Utami hits a huge lariat to Anno. Miko and Mai double team. Mirai with a double drop kick. Sakurai hits a dive to the floor. Lucha Sakurai, look out, folks. Mai and Miko with a superplex dropkick combination. I thought that was really cool. Sakurai has Mirai up for a suplex, and then Anno hits a dropkick. I'm sorry, to Utami. That was a really cool spot. Really cool, from a makeshift tag team, they were able to have that cohesiveness. It reminded me of the early 90s when they teamed up Marty Jannetty and the 1-2-3 Kid. They had some really, really good tag team chemistry despite never really teaming before. So a really cool double team there down the former Red Belt champion. Sakurai goes to the top rope, and she misses what I am now going to christen the Goodwin elbow drop. No water in the pool, my Gorilla Monsoon reference there. Utami hits an air raid crash for two, and then Utami and Mirai hit this phenomenal tag team move. Which Utami has Sakurai in a waist lock getting ready to go for the German suplex, but the help sender over. Mirai comes with a thunderous lariat. So nice little lariat German suplex combo from the former Red and former White Belt champions. Really good stuff there. 3 3/4 stars. For me, the highlight of the show was these last two tag matches, especially with this main event. I think that this main event would have went a little bit longer, and we maybe put a little bit more focus on Miko Anno and Utami. This would have been 4 4.25 stars easy. But they gave us a tease of what we want to see. Obviously, Mirai, she's fantastic. Maybe other than Bozilla, she, in my opinion, in these first few shows, is the MVP of Marigold. Really upping her stock. I mean, she was a phenomenal worker to begin with and somebody we really praise, but her stuff's been even better here in Marigold. And great tag team with Utami. Obviously, that's nothing we've ever seen before, with Utami being in Queen's Quest and Mirai being part of Donald Del Mundo. And then, of course, God's Eye. So I'd love to see these two former Stardom champions team up against somewhere in the future. And obviously, Miko Anno versus Mirai. Yes, please. Miko Anno versus Utami Hayashista. Yes, please. Folks, we go to the next night. We go to June the 2nd. Chikuko Goto getting a win over Myla Grace with a choke slam. We did see some really quick counters back and forth between these two. Chika Goto, it's good to see her back in the Marigold ring, because I don't think she was on the last show or the shows that ended in May. I'm a big fan of her. She's another one that really understands who Chika Goto is, who her character is, and is able to get the psychology down, the crowd psychology down, who she is. Myla Grace, she's still finding her way. She's very, very enthusiastic, very, very energetic. I think she's only been wrestling 2 or 3 years. So these are really, really good spots for her to learn and get better. And I fully expect her to keep getting better each and every show. Chika Goto, again, she was really the MVP of this match. Myla Grace, she got a few things in. She does a 619, which I think is cool, but she does it to like the stomach, which would be maybe that'd be nifty if she does that. And then maybe she does like a body splash where she's working, you know, the solar plexus, something like that. 3.25 stars for me on this one. We do go to the next match, where it was Nagusu Nozaki defeating Chiaka with the rear naked choke. These two basically almost worked like a submission style match. It was a lot of striking, a lot of ground grappling back and forth. It really seemed like these two were like, okay, here's the finish. Here's what we'll go to. We're going to call a majority of this in the ring. This is more of like a grappling match, which I really, really enjoy. I would like to see Nozaki maybe a little more explosive, because I think that's where her bread and butter is. But her ground grappling here was still sound. Regardless, good stuff. 3.25 stars for me. There really wasn't much substance to it. It was just a lot of ground grappling, which I do, you know, with me doing all the catch wrestling that I do. I'm a big fan of that style, because it's a tricky style to do. It really, really is, if you can pull it off. So it was really cool to see Nozaki go to that level, but I would like to see her more of the explosive strikes, like how she does like the running forearms and the running kicks. We go to match number 3, another passion injection match, as Nanai Takahashi took on the high speed star of Misa Matsui. As soon as the match rings, Misa uses her high speed to try to get the early advantage. However, Nanai uses her experience and her power and overpowers Matsui. Nanai uses some boot scrapes. Misa fires back with some forearms. Nanai locks in a crossface. Nanai with machine gun chops to Misa. Misa hits a Cazadora double stomp. I love that, how she'll go for the roll up and rolls all the way through and then hits the double stomp. I'm a big fan of that move, because it's very difficult to do. That scores her a 2 count. Misa hits a low drop kick and then locks in a stretch buffler, which I thought was pretty cool. Again, Misa using a lot of high-speed tactics. It was very good with the submissions and striking as well. Nanai hits a shoulder breaker for 2. She goes back to the crossface. Misa's able to get out. She hits a snap hurricanrana for a 2 count. Nanai eventually gets the advantage back with a big forearm and a sliding forearm and a body slam. She misses the refrigerator bomb, which I like, because she hit it the day before to win. Misa hits a Lamai Strat cradle for a 2 count. Eventually, Nanai gets the advantage back and hits the Nanai rocker for the 3 count. This was excellent. 3.75 stars for me. We go to the semi-main event of Mirai and Mai Sakurai, a little DDM reunion, taking on the team of Bozilla and Zeta Steel. I thought this was terrific. I thought this was great. Mirai was phenomenal here. Match starts off with a tackle trade-off with Sakurai and Zeta Steel, which I thought was, when I wrote that note down, you figured the tackle trade-off would have been with Mirai and Bozilla, the two harder hitters of the match. But I like how Sakurai and Zeta Steel are trying to show that, hey, we can hit hard as well. Eventually, Sakurai gets the early advantage, locks Zeta Steel in the Paradise Lock. Bozilla comes in and dominates Sakurai. More hard-hitting action on Bozilla. Bozilla just dominates both Sakurai and Mirai, hits a suplex onto both. We saw her hit a double powerbomb in the match the day before, but this time hits a double snap suplex onto Sakurai and Mirai. Mirai runs through Zeta Steel when she fires up, just runs through Zeta Steel. And then she eventually, though, Bozilla comes in for the save on Zeta Steel, hits an insane German suplex, just deadlifts her and just throws her, which I like was like the psychology of the match. Anytime Bozilla was in, she was dominant. But however, anytime that Zeta Steel was in, that Mirai and Sakurai really cut the ring off, because they realized, like, we're probably not going to beat Bozilla. Let's try to focus on Zeta Steel and beat her. And then Bozilla would come in for the saves from time to time. But this, like, deadlift German suplex that she hit on Mirai, which is absolutely insane. And I mentioned 2 minutes ago how Miko Anno and Utami Hayashisa, so that's a money feud. Mariah Bozilla, I think that's going to be the big, big story. Once it's finally time to defeat Bozilla, I think Mariah might be the one to do it. And maybe it takes two or three attempts. Maybe on the first match, Bozilla gets a win, Mariah builds herself back up, and then maybe beats Bozilla. But I think that's a big money match they can go to. Clearly it's in the works here. I mean, it seems like it's in the works because Bozilla and Mariah, they work really well together. This is a really cool spot. Bozilla and Zeta Steel hit a Doomsday Ace Crusher, top rope cutter. Onto Mariah. I thought that was really cool. Mariah eventually, though, big lariat to Zeta Steel, locks in the Mirror Mariah, or as I call it, the double wrist lock, for the tap out. 4 stars for me. I thought this was absolutely terrific. Eventually, Bozilla absolutely snaps after the match and beats up not only Mariah, not only my Sakurai, not only her tag partner Zeta Steel, but all the referees. So even though Bozilla ate the L here, well, not her tag partner, but it will go down the record books as a loss. She does look absolutely dominant, and they're doing a great job keeping her super strong. We go to the main event, and what a main event this was. Utami Hayashisa and Victoria Yuzuki taking on, in my opinion, what should be the first tag champs in Marigold, Miko Anno and Natsumi Shozaki. Again, Anno and Utami, they start out, they give us a little tease of what we had the night before, a little bit of a feeling out process with some really good grappling. Eventually, Yuzuki and Shozaki come in. They pick up the pace here, some really fun stuff with the two of them. Yuzuki takes a little bit of a beating early on from Shozaki, but Yuzuki's able to come back with a big drop kick. Shozaki gets tagged back in. Her and Utami, they go back and forth. Eventually, she locks in this really deep armbar to Utami. Utami sells it really, really well, like she might be in trouble only in like 4 minutes in the match. Anno comes in. She just absolutely takes apart Utami with kicks. Utami fires back with some forearms and hits a big lariat. Anno takes a really big bump there, really selling the effects of how powerful one Utami Hayashisa is. Yuzuki comes in with a big drop kick and a judo throw to Anno. Yuzuki follows it up with a perfect Northern Light suplex, bridging on the toes as Kurt Hennig is looking down proudly on these phenomenal Joshi-style wrestlers. Anno and Yuzuki, they wind up going back and forth. Yuzuki gets the advantage, is able to hit the rolling arrow pin attempt for a two count. Anno hits a buzzsaw kick to Yuzuki for two, and then Anno hits a buzzsaw kick. They wind up hitting a kick sandwich. By they, I mean Anno and Shozaki. They hit a head kick sandwich onto Utami that takes her out, and then Anno hits a double underhook stalling suplex onto Yuzuki for a three count, and we end these two shows with the best match. 4.25 stars for me. Again, very much like the main event from the night before. I wish it was a little bit longer. But regardless, I thought this was a really good stuff, and we're starting to build, and we're going to show that what we have coming up here as far as potential matchups with Anno and Utami, with Bozilla and Mirai. So yeah, there's some possibilities, some really, really good stuff there. Okay, folks, let's go. We're going to do a little preview and prediction for this show coming up in Cork and Hall. This show is going to be on, I believe, Tuesday the 11th, and more than likely this is one that I will be reviewing with one Mr. Rob Goodwin. Mirai taking on the rookie Komomo Manami. Poor Komomo. Poor Manami. That's early in the morning here, folks. Poor Manami. She gets to have a match. This is her debut match. She's going to learn feet to the fire with Mariah, but Mariah will get the win here. Then we have Nayao Ishikawa versus Nagasaki Nozaki. Obviously, with Ishikawa, we are doing the... And I apologize, guys. I'm still trying to learn the names here, but I'm doing the best I can. But Ishikawa is obviously doing this gimmick where she's losing a whole bunch of matches. Nozaki, they're building her up to a match with Julia. So I think Nozaki's going to get a win here, but I think this is going to be one that might steal the whole show. We got Mai Sakurai and Misa Matsui versus Chiaka and Natsumi Shozaki. Oh, this is a coin flip. This is a tough one. I'm not sure where they're going to go on this one, but I'm going to go with Shozaki picking up the win here over Sakurai. But I can see Chiaka getting the win. I can see Misa getting the win. This one can go either way. But again, this is really, I like these makeshift teams because you never know what's going to stick. So, yeah, that's going to be a real fun one. But I'm going to go with the team of Chiaka and Natsumi Shozaki to get the win. Six-woman tag match, the first one in the brief history of Marigold, Miko Anu, Kyoko Amore, and Chika Goto versus the all-foreign team of Bozilla, Myla Grace, and Zeta Steel. I would have said Bozilla. When this match got announced, I would have said Team Bozilla. But with Bozilla getting the L on the last show and then her just beating up Zeta Steel, I'm going to say it's the same thing that happens. I think that either Myla Grace or Zeta Steel eats the L here, with maybe Miko Anu getting the win. And then Bozilla just beats down everyone in the match. I think that's simple, easy psychology. And then, folks, we go on to what is, I'm assuming, the co-main event of this show, of Sari taking on Victoria Yuzuki. Obviously, Victoria Yuzuki has not had a win here yet. Not sure how she's going to be able to pull this one off. However, it's going to be a really, really good match. Obviously, this is the easiest one to predict on the show. But you know it's going to be great. Victoria Yuzuki, this is the biggest match of her career because she's wrestling a legit main eventer, somebody that can main event a Stardom, Marigold, which we've seen. Obviously, the Sariism shows, Sendai Girls, anywhere she wants to go, Sari can main event, and she absolutely brings it. So it's going to be a big test for Yuzuki. If she can step up to the plate and go toe-to-toe with Sari. I expect Sari to get the win, but at the same time, I expect it to be a terrific match. And then, folks, we go into the main event with Nanai Takahashi versus Utami Haishi, just the two wrestlers that have main evented Korakuen Hall several times, two wrestlers that have walked into that building with, in my opinion, the most important belt of all of wrestling, the World of Stardom Championship. This is the main event. I know me and Rob kind of kicked this around. This one should have a finish, but I don't think it's going to. I don't think they're going to beat Utami just yet. I don't think they're going to beat Nanai just yet. I think it's going to be a terrific match. I think it's going to be a match of the show. But I'm going to say this one goes to the time limit draw. And then I think we're going to have like a big angle afterwards. Something where maybe we're going to announce a big matchup. Maybe for the Summer Destiny show. Because believe it or not, that is just right around the corner. We're only about a month or so away. Time is ticking, folks. So time is ticking. Folks, that's going to wrap it up for this episode. I hope you enjoyed the melding of kind of, you know, myself doing my own thing and then Rob doing his own thing. So this is going to the same thing for the Stardom cast later on this week, that I'm going to watch the shows that are available. I'm going to be sitting in my hotel room in Texas, and I'm going to just kind of be reviewing and breaking down all the everything going on in the World of Stardom. So yes, I hope everybody enjoyed this one for the Marigold Standard. Questions, comments, anything you need from me, Matt Turner OF, on the Instagram and or the Twitter. Obviously, if you want to shoot me an email, thestardomcast22@gmail.com is the best way to get a hold of me via the email system. And that's going to wrap it up for this episode, folks. I hope you enjoyed it. And again, we thank you for your patience as we have a little unique episodes going on this week before I get back to good old Pennsylvania next week and we can get back to regular format. But yeah, that's going to wrap it up, folks. Stay positive, stay cool, stay hydrated. It's the summer months. It's getting warm out there. Have fun with your families. You know, enjoy that, all the wonders that life give us, the beautiful thing that is life, and be helpful to each other. And we thank you for the support. Because like I always say, folks, it's just not my podcast. It's our podcast. Because we're all together. Everybody's different. Everybody's special.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.